Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the October 14th, 2021 hearing regarding application Z05401-19-C, request for approval of a event facility. This is a remand from Court of Appeals and Land Use Board of Appeals. My name is Joe Turner. I'm the county's hearings officer. I'll start with some brief announcements and a summary of the process that we'll follow so everyone understands how you can participate in the hearing today. I start by saying I'm not a county employee. I am licensed as an attorney and trained as a planner. I serve under contract to the Board of Commissioners. I say that so you know you're getting a somewhat independent review of the application before me today. My role as the hearings officer is to conduct public hearings and make decisions about certain land use matters in Clackamas County. In making those decisions, I'm required to apply the county's existing laws. I am not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with the Planning Commission and Board of Commissioners to do that. But this application must be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. As a hearings officer, I'm to provide an unbiased decision maker. I believe I am unbiased with regard to this application. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application, and I don't have any interest in the subject property or any of the surrounding properties. But you have the right to challenge my impartiality, to argue that I'm biased, I'm biased in one way or another, and you can do that when it's your opportunity to testify. Procedure will follow. I ask staff to summarize the history of this case and where we're at on this remand process. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present their proposal or respond to the history and where we're at on the remand. If anyone else wants to testify about this application in support, opposition, or with questions or concerns, they may do so. Once everyone has had an initial opportunity to testify, I will give staff and the applicant an opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If that response includes any new evidence, I'll give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. Anyone with an interest in this application may offer relevant oral or written testimony. The testimony should be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which are set out in the staff report. As everyone already knows, this my decision is subject to appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA, but LUBA generally will not allow new testimony and evidence on appeal. So if you feel it's important that myself or any future decision maker know something about this application, you need to make sure it gets into the record before me. In order to preserve your right to appeal my decision, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make a decision. If I continue the hearing, we can come back and do this again at a later date. But if anybody, also state law requires that I hold the record open for an additional week for the applicant to submit a final written argument without any new evidence. The applicant can waive that right if they choose, but if anybody else wants me to hold the record open or continue the hearing for any other purpose, you must make that request before the close of the hearing today. Also, my decision must comply with state law that requires that I issue a final written decision within a certain amount of time after a remand. It's been a while. I can't remember what the specific number of days is. I'll ask staff where we are on that when we get to that point. So there's limitations on how long I can continue the hearing or hold the record open. It is important that you make your best case to me in order to preserve your right to appeal. Not sure I said this part, so just in case. Just did another one this morning, so it feels like I'm repeating myself when I may not be. But in order to preserve your right to appeal, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me. And if the applicant wants to object to conditions of approval on constitutional grounds, they must raise those issues before me as well. When you testify, please begin by stating your name and your full mailing address. Please spell your last name so I get it right. And if you represent someone else, please say so. That concludes my introduction. I'll ask staff to summarize the Zoom process.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. Just for the record, well, can everybody hear me? Am I okay? I'm not too loud, too soft. Okay, so there are, this is the remand hearing for Hurricane Z0540-19. It is October the 14th. There are five of us present at this hearing, planning staff, me, Clay Glasgow, also Darcy Renhardt. She's our moderator. We have the hearings officer, Mr. Joe Turner. Tyler Smith is here, and I understand the applicant, Mr. Herkamp, is physically with him there in the office. And also we have Jessica Iceland on the side of the applicant. Now I'm to read this Zoom script, and I have to
We also have one attendee, Linda Lacey.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Did not see that. Thank you. All right. So there's six of us here. I'm going to read this Zoom script. It's got to be word for word. Just bear with me. It only takes about a minute. So Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. That's Darcy. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. County will make every effort to post the recording on the county website as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you'd like to provide testimony, please utilize that raise hand feature, or given the small number of folks here, just raise your hand. Unless you happen to be an attendee, then you do need to use the raise hand feature. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a bit. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your microphone will be muted again and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email it to me, and I'm going to put up a slide at the end of this hearing with this. Email it or just mail it in to our offices here. And again, when we close the hearing, after the hearing's closed, I'll put up that information. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but still like to receive the decision, just let us know. Give me, you know, some kind of contact info, preferably a mailing address, but email's fine also, and we will send you a copy of the decision. And that is the Zoom script. You want me to continue marching, Mr. Turner?
Yes, please.
All right. Do we have any other attendees? Because I'm sorry I missed that one. So we
just
still,
the one that I show.
Okay, let me get over there. Okay, there she is. Linda Lacey. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go through a little dog and pony show. Just bear with me here. This is a little bit of a different type of hearing than I typically do. This is coming to us on remand after multiple appeals. This has a lot of history. It's been a long and winding path to get back to us here on remand. But let me just go through my show here real quick, if I can remember how to share a screen. Thanks, Darcy. Got it. Okay, so here we are. This is our file number. Everybody see that? Can anybody see this? And anybody who's been following along knows all this, but I'm still going to go through this pretty quick. The proposal here is a home occupation host events, weddings, parties, that kind of thing, up to 44 events per year. This will involve, as proposed, using two existing barns along with a new bathroom building. Property is about 12 acres in size, located at 14275 South Mueller Road, south of Oregon City. This has already been through the hoops. It was approved locally. Let me just get you some context here. Here's 213. Here's Mueller Road. We're west on Mueller. Here's our site right here. All right. So this is being held on remand from the State of Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. The application was originally filed back in 2019, towards the end of the year, in December sometime. Public hearing was held. There were a couple of open record periods. Clackamas County Hearings Officer, a different hearings officer than we have now, by the way, approved this application in April of 2020. That hearings officer decision, the approval was appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which issued a remand back to the county in October of last year. That was appealed then to another level, the Court of Appeals, in March of 2021. And the court made significant changes to LUVA's original order. It was appealed back and forth a couple of other times. It was attempted to get up to the Oregon State Supreme Court. They declined to accept the case. Ultimately, what happened here, and I'm summarizing, we had a couple of lawyers in the room, and they can get into detail if they think it's important, but I'm just kind of hitting the high points here. But ultimately, what happened is LUVA amended their initial order. It became their final order. They amended it to comply with the Court of Appeals decision and remanded it back to the county in late August of 2021. We received it in September, specifically September 7th. Now, this is a limited remand. This is not starting from scratch. We're not looking at this as a brand new application. This remand is very narrowly focused on just a couple of items where we're not here to talk about traffic or noise or dust or any of those kind of things that were talked about at the initial hearing. Darcy, I may need your help here. I've lost control of my icons. Hang on a minute. Yeah, I can't find it. Let's just go there. So the initial decision, that all happened last year, back in 2020. This is a very narrow remand from LUVA, as suggested by the Court of Appeals. The only items on review today are those that are detailed in LUVA's final order on the case as modified by the Court of Appeals. All other issues are either not appealed or specifically affirmed on appeal. So again, we're only here to look at what this got appealed on, and there's really just two issues. Details on the upper barn, along with further consideration of the restroom building. I'm going to share my screen again because I want to get back to sorry, I'm a little bit out of sorts here, but I've got my boss urgently trying to get my attention, and I can't get to it, Darcy. Oh, I got it. Never mind. Thanks. Okay, so just a real brief summary here. This is just too complicated. What we're looking at today, and this is the remand that we're looking at today, and we're limited to this. It's whether changes or alterations to what's known as the upper barn would change the character of that barn in such a way that it can no longer be considered accessory to the house or accessory to other allowed uses in the underlying EFU zone, and also whether the restroom building as proposed can be considered accessory to a dwelling or is otherwise authorized in the underlying EFU zone. Those are the two items that we are here to consider today. And I'm hoping Mr. Tyler can speak more clearly than I can on this, just to kind of get it all in order. And with that, I think I'm done, unless you have questions, which I'm happy to answer, and hopefully I can do better than that presentation.
Think so? No. No, I don't have any questions for you, Mr. Glasgow. Thank you. It's the applicant's opportunity.
Yes, thank you, Hearings Officer Turner. Jessica Iceland is also here with us, but I'll probably be doing most of the talking. But she's our architect. She's rendered the drawings. She's been involved from the initial application throughout. So,
I get your name, Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir. Tyler Smith.
Thanks.
Okay. So as Mr. Glasgow mentioned, this was approved locally and then bounced around. But what I've given a memo, so I'd like to get this admitted to the record. I have a memorandum on those two issues, and I have 16 exhibits. If I could get those put in the record, I'd like to talk about those a little bit here in a minute.
And is somebody able to pull those up if we want to refer to them?
I can try and share my screen, or if staff there can do that. I see Darcy shaking her head. Maybe I should share my screen when we get there.
Yes, great. You should be able to share your screen as well.
Okay.
Great.
So first, let me give a little introduction as to what the two issues are. So I put in the memo an explanation that there was arguments and assertions that are no longer before us about the lower barn. The lower barn is the main barn. It's larger. And there were assertions that somehow changing that barn would change the character of the barn and of the use. There was not much discussion in the first hearing about this upper barn. The upper barn is small. It's farther away from where the events would be. It's sort of an afterthought, if you will. But quite frankly, there wasn't much discussion about the upper barn. And I put in the memo, that's because there aren't changes to the upper barn. I quoted Luba's decision that they assumed the horse stalls were being removed from the upper barn. Because they didn't see them. Or they said they assumed that the horse stalls were proposed to be eliminated. Well, that assumption was just simply factually wrong. There isn't anything, any construction going on inside the small upper barn at all. It's the same siding, the same roof, the same insides. Everything is the same. The only thing that was proposed to be done in relation to the upper barn was to essentially wall in or enclose a restroom that was already approved in 2018. And we've got these in the exhibits. The exhibits to those, I'll show you in a minute, were exhibits 15 and 16. Or I'm sorry, those were exhibits 11 and 12. In 2018, the permits were applied for, obtained, and the approvals for that exterior a restroom that's next to the upper barn were already approved. And so the point is, those are totally independent of this application. Those took place before this application and, you know, were and can be approved totally independently of this application as a restroom in conjunction or as a use or a structure in conjunction with a dwelling. So that was already done, but apparently the Court of Appeals didn't understand that. And so that's what we wanted to clarify. We have included 10 pictures completely surrounding the barn, and I'll go through those in a minute, simply to show that the upper barn is staying essentially exactly as it was, aside from the bathroom and the plumbing being walled in on one side of it. So I'll go through those pictures. That's the first issue. It's real simple. It's sort of fact dependent. We've shown the pictures and explained how it's not changing. Now, this barn you'll see is sort of a traditional barn. Mr. Herkramp roofed it himself in 2016. It's traditional old barn board, batten board type barn board siding. It's going to stay that way. The color is staying the same. The wood is staying the same. It's all staying the same. So there's no change to the character. So that's the first issue. Very simple, very straightforward. The second issue it relates exclusively to how, sort of, what kind of restroom is going to be associated with the lower barn. The lower barn is the larger barn. That's where the events will be. And there was an original site plan was drawn up by the applicant, I believe by Mrs. Iceland and her team, that had a proposal for portable restrooms down there. Which at the time, here, if we can go to.
This is actually from my PowerPoint presentation, not yours.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything with yours yet.
I'll go to mine here.
Okay. Let me get out of this so you can share yours.
All Okay, how's that working?
We're seeing it.
Okay, yep, well, let me go through this before we move forward. So here is a picture of the barn. You know, it's that is just one side of the barn there. The other side of the barn, you can see from there, is this up on top of the hill. The pond is down to the left side of this picture. Here again, the other side of the barn. The front, I guess, which would be the side of the barn away from the road, but that's on the property. And here you can see again the front of the barn with the left side here. You can see some pipes up. This is where the bathroom has been approved and plumbed and permitted and those kinds of things. And then we have zoom ins of the existing barn, which had this existing overhang, but where the plumbing has been permitted and approved here. You can see the black pipes sticking up inside the what would be an enclosed. So it's remaining the same, just being having an additional wall there put on around what will then be a bathroom. So I scroll through this relatively quickly. You can see it's the old existing frame wood on the, what do you call that? The ceiling, the roof. And here are the permits exhibit. This is exhibit 11. Exhibit 11 is the permit for the plumbing, the groundwork that we just saw. It had some conditions to protect the pipe penetrations and other conditions. This is back in 2018 before this permit, before the application was even filed for. Then exhibit here, the next one, exhibit 12 shows the septic connection here being approved. That's the septic for this bathroom by the upper barn. And so I'm going to scroll forward here to the site plan. This was one of the original site plans. If I can zoom in here. So you can see that the applicant's original site plan had portable bathrooms proposed, which, you know, as an alternative are completely fine to the applicant. But it was staff. Here we have the transcript of the original hearing with Ms. Iceland had mentioned that it was staff that essentially said, no, they didn't want portable bathrooms. Those are being, I guess, disfavored on these kinds of things. And staff had said to have it as a structure. So then later renderings and later site plans had the restroom being as a separate structure. But ultimately, there's a couple of questions that are now before this is, before the, you know, the, your honor, your hearings officer, Turner. And that's essentially just what kind of restroom does the county want? And I would posit to the hearings officer that this is essentially a staff decision. This is an expertise decision that Public Works or whoever inside the county is in charge of those should decide. The county and proposed and the hearings officer approved two conditions of approval, which I believe should deal with this. Those conditions were condition 2(4), that the county's septic and on-site wastewater system programs would apply to this. And then condition 2(20), was that if any portable restrooms had to be used, there were conditions on how those portable restrooms were used. So we pointed this out to the Court of Appeals, and I believe it's the case is that this land use approval doesn't or didn't originally decide exactly where or exactly what kind of restroom was even going to take place for the proposed use. We believe that that's appropriately delegated to the county, to the staff, to Mr. Glasgow's staff, any other public works staff that Clackamas County would have weigh in on that. But what we did want to point out is that this is specifically an external use of a bathroom or a structure of a bathroom is allowed in Clackamas County. We pointed out the Zoning Development Ordinance 401.04, Table 401.1, and the hearings officer the first time pointed out that parking and bathrooms were accessory uses. So we think this is already dealt with. It may not have been clear enough for Luba, or they just might have misunderstood it. But we've pointed this out, that we're open to any of three options that the county would want to do, whether it's portable restrooms, whether it's the restroom structure, or even if they wanted to have us put the restrooms inside the lower barn, would it be another option? But we think that what needs to be decided here, and we've put it in the conclusion to our memo, is that just a finding that an exterior bathroom is an allowed use or a structure that's accessory to a dwelling in this zone. And it can be, and it has been approved with the conditions known as condition 2(4) and condition 2(20) in the conditions of approval. And that would just be the determination that I think Luba thought was missing. And so I'll go back up a little bit here, go through the evidence that we have. The exhibit 13, page 1, was Mrs. Iceland's testimony from the first hearing, where she pointed out at 35 minutes and 50 seconds in that the restroom facilities were permanent facilities that were proposed. So there's a reference to portable facilities, and that the initial was for four portable facilities, but the building codes department requested that it be permanent restrooms. So again, that was, the applicant can go either way. This is what the county wants. It's what the county hearings officer approved, and it's perfectly fine for us. It's allowed under the code. There hasn't been a contention otherwise, other than to say, you know, somehow that, you know, the bathrooms changed the character, you know, or weren't allowable structures, which, you know, everything the county has done and the hearings officer has done would say is to the contrary. So with those two issues, again, we point out the upper, it's interesting, just the facts and circumstances of this case, is that the upper restroom and the fact that there is a permitted plumbing and septic, and it's a small plumbing and small septic that just services the upper rest, the small upper restroom, is already approved, which sort of demonstrates that in Clackamas County, bathroom is approved on a dwelling site, approved or approvable. It's, in technical legal terms, it's a permitted use, I guess is what you would say. So both of these should be relatively simple. I'm going to stop sharing my screen here. Both of these are relatively simple and straightforward. There's not much legal basis for saying otherwise or factual basis. The upper barn, again, is staying the same, except for part of it being enclosed with what will be as identical of barn board as possible. So it will look the same. The footprint will be slightly changing because it's adding amount of square feet to the one edge of it. But for all intents and purposes, it will look the same unless you actually can see the footprint, and will remain the same. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but these are pretty straightforward. There's a lot of backstory, as Mr. Glasgow mentioned, but these are the only two issues that were sort of remanded and still in contention.
Okay. The exhibits numbers you referred to, those are exhibits for your memo you just submitted.
Correct.
They're not the county's. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that entire memo, in just since it's one electronic document, will be known as Exhibit 43 in this record.
Okay.
Mr. Turner, can I ask Mr. Smith a question right here?
Sure,
that they're in the middle of applicant testimony, but can I ask him a question before I forget? Regarding you showed a transcript there, and I might have to get Ms. Iceland in on this one too. I was at the hearing, obviously, but I'm having a hard time recalling this discussion on portable units as opposed to a permanent restroom building. And if maybe somebody could jog my memory, because the reason I bring that up is because this type of use, a home occupation notice of intent, very specifically and unusually provides for use of portable toilet facilities. So I guess this kind of caught me off guard. So if one of you could help jog my memory, that might be helpful.
I'll pass it to Ms. Iceland real quickly here, but I do want to, and Clay, because we had submitted, there were two site plans and one had one on it. The first one had portable, the second one had fixed. So that's probably why it came up. But Jessica, do you want to mention what staff had told you? And
sure. So this was early on.
Can we get your name for the record? Oh,
sure. Sorry. I'm Jessica Iceland, 1307 7th Street in Oregon City. I'm the architect.
Thanks.
So we had a meeting before, I believe, that we submitted for the conditional use. Clay, I don't recall if you were there, but Richard Carlson was there. And I do not remember her name. It was a woman. I believe she was the interim building official. And we had a discussion about this project and about the acceptability of portable restrooms, because it was my understanding that in the past, these had been approved for a temporary time period, whether that was like 18 months or 2 years, that you could do those. And if the use continued, then you had to transfer them and create permanent fixtures. Now that, I'm not sure if that was ever a county policy, but I believe that that was something that we had experienced in the past. So when we had this meeting, Richard and the other woman from the building department questioned the acceptability of the portable bathrooms. And it was the woman at the meeting who had the stronger opinion about not wanting to approve portable restroom facilities, and she wanted them to be permanent. And so at that time, we decided whatever, you know, we would be willing to work with whatever the county required there.
Okay. And so that, and so then by the time it got to the hearings officer, it was a permanent building.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Again, I don't remember the timing of that meeting, whether it was in fact before the conditional use application had been made or after.
Okay. Well, I don't want to speak for the building department, because I don't administer building codes, but typically for this type of use, for hosting events like this, porta potties, portable restrooms are what's used, simply because of the gigantic field size requirements for, you know, 300 people once a week. So it would be unusual that a permanent building would be constructed. Let me back up just a little bit. I agree with Mr. Smith that I think Luba misunderstood that here also. And I think there's something lost in translation between planning, building, and Jessica. Planning very specifically allows use of portable toilets through Section 806 of our zoning code. I am unaware of any building code that runs counter to, simply because we've approved so many of these and it just hasn't come up before. And I think that's why I'm having a little bit of a hiccup with this, because I can't think of any reason why portables wouldn't be used. Regardless, I also agree with Mr. Smith that I think it was taken care of. And I think Luba just misconstrued or misunderstood what was going on with that building. So I don't have an issue with it either way, but planning, I don't see any way we could require this permanent building, considering that Section 806 specifically calls out use of portable units.
Well, and that was my understanding. So I was somewhat surprised at this, but again, I think the bottom line is that if I can speak for Mark here, he was willing to do whatever the county wanted him to do in terms of the bathrooms, whether they were portable or permanent.
Okay. And so at this point, I guess just to put a little suggestion into the hearings officer there, if Mr. Turner is comfortable making a condition broad enough that, you know, meets building code or Section 806 or something to cover both instances. I don't know if that's possible, but that might be the best way to go here. But honestly, I'm unaware of any building code issue that would require this, simply because of the way our zoning code is written. Yeah. Okay.
And
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if we could address that, I mean, it would be nice to, have, you know, some sort of a condition or whatever that said whether it's permanent or temporary, to just meets, building code and staff, planning's approval. So we don't have to, wonder or question or come back if he has temporary for a while and ultimately later wants to get permanent, we know that it's authorized or allowed.
Okay. The upper barn floor plan shows a small meeting room, and to the left of that, there's an L-shaped, upside down L-shaped dotted lines. What does that showing Is that another wall, a bar?
It's a partial height wall that is existing, and it's just a sort of a counter height partition.
That was going to be my next question. Those interior walls are all existing?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
That was what they got wrong. I mean, they assumed something was being changed that we never wasn't being changed.
And then my last question, everybody's seemed to be talking around and assumed that a restroom building, freestanding restroom building is permitted as a, in the county.
Well, that's kind of the issue. That's what the hearings officer had determined, and it's listed on the chart, ZDO 401.1 is what authorized it's the table, and it shows the things that are approvable under ZDO 401.04.
And is restroom building?
It says restrooms, I think, is what it says or something.
Okay.
I'm not mistaken. So,
and there's no limitation on number, size, or anything like that.
Well, not in the code. I mean, so there's a limitation on the use. You know, the machinations of this permit over the course of time started out as sort of just a
blanket. Oh, sure, I understand the use. The size of the use is limited, but
right? No, not in the code on the restroom or anything like that. Obviously, the septic system, if there's going to be one, if it's a fixed or a permanent structure, is underground. So the size might change slightly, you know, depending on how much use, but it's underground anyways, buried.
Yeah, I think that's subject to the standard of other buildings associated with the uses permitted.
Exactly. That's what we argued to the Court of Appeals. And I think that's the right legal answer, is that's, you know, not the land use. That's a building and you know, septic issue.
Yeah. The septic is underground. It's clearly not subject to that, but the building itself is. Right. A little bit held, but I understand the issue, and I'm going to look at this, the code, what the code says.
As one of the non-lawyers here, I read the remand just to mean they wanted this process to just detail that, just to point it out that it is, you know, whether it is or is not a, you know, typically accessory building. That a restroom within a farm zone is certainly not an unusual use, a freestanding restroom, be it portable or a site-built restroom, just for farm workers, and certainly a restroom is typical in conjunction with a residence, which is on site. So, yeah, planning.
But usually, with a residence, it's inside the residence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although when there's a lot of barns with bodies in them.
Sure. I'm familiar with that as well. It's just
quite common. Have a shop or a barn or a man cave or whatever people convert it into that has an approved permitted restroom in it.
Mm-hmm. It's just when it's a separate freestanding building, that seems unusual, but I'll see what the code says and we'll go from there. Okay. Is that it from the applicant at this point?
Yes, thank you. We'd like to reserve any comments. I think one of the appellants is on here, so we'll reserve any rebuttal.
Okay. Ms. Lacey, you're the only one, other person present. Did you want to say anything? You'll need to unmute your microphone by clicking on the red microphone. There we go.
No, thank you. I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Just for the record, that was Ms. Linda Lacey, and she said she did not have anything she wanted to add. Anything further from county staff?
Well, let's just, you know, get the clock issue. I think you'll
thank you.
Earlier. We've got once the request for initiating a remand is received, the county has 120 days.
That was 120? Okay.
That's our clock. I just got an email from counsel because I wasn't quite sure when that clock started because the request came in before we got the final order. So what we're going with is 120 days from September 7th of this year, 2021, is our clock. So as far as leaving record open and whatnot.
Okay. Thank you. So we got a lot of time.
A lot of time.
That it from staff?
Yep.
Okay. Anything further from the applicant, Mr. Smith?
No, just I'd point out that we really don't care, you know, where and what type of restrooms these are. So okay. Whether it's inside the barn or outside the barn or portable, it doesn't really matter to the applicant. So
the applicant has the right to have me hold the record open for an additional week for you to submit a final argument. Do you want to waive that right?
We'll waive that.
Okay. With that, I'll close the hearing and I'll close the record. I'm going to take this under advisement. I want to cut a lot of it. I got some new information and I want to be able to review the applicant's memo, which I haven't received yet. So I will do that. I will try and get my decision out within about 2 weeks. October 28th, I'll try and get it out by then. The county, I'll send it to the county. The county will send it parties of record. So anybody who's testified orally or in writing will be sure and receive a copy of my decision or notice of my decision when it's issued. But that concludes our hearing. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.